And the rest of you, I would invite to find a Bible and turn with me to the New Testament Epistle of Ephesians, where we'll be reading from chapter 4, the end of chapter 4 and the start of chapter 5. For those of you who have not been with us this summer, we've been involved in a study of the Ten Commandments, and today we're at the Ninth Commandment, and I'm not going to quiz you and ask you right now which one you think that is, but some of you might know, but we'll get there. So we're reading from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25. This is God's word. Therefore, each one of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And that's where we'll end our reading of God's word this morning. Once upon a time, Jesus stood before Pilate, and they talked about truth. And Pilate was troubled. What is truth? He said. And it was a question that was very real for him, but it's a question that becomes very real for us today as well. What is truth? What is true? It becomes really quite confusing for us. You all know that everything you read on the internet is true, right? Haha, we'll get that off the table right away, okay. But you look around in culture and you find that we're living in times when many people say that I can have my truth and you can have your truth, and it doesn't matter if they're diametric opposite to each other, we just believe what we want to believe and it's true, right? And my brain is going, how can that possibly be? But I think sometimes how we, in other ways, kind of bend the truth sometimes. And we think about words, you know, you hear things like, there are black lies, apparently, because some people say there are white lies, which aren't so bad, so there must be gray lies and black lies and those kinds of things like that. And you get to question some of that, and you wonder, well, how do we justify some of our little lies sometimes? But you know, we sometimes stretch the truth a little bit, or how many of us have not made a promise to someone which we really never intended to keep? We just wanted to mollify them for a moment or something like that, and so we say, oh, I'll do that someday, sometime, and it just never gets done. And so we begin sometimes to question how much of what we hear in life is actually true, and can we live in a sense of having truth in our own lives and in the world around us. It's hard sometimes for us to live in the midst of that uncertainty, because we come to a place where we often question what is true. I know some of you have family members who struggle with that. You know, Deb has talked with us every once in a while about her granddaughter, Kaylee, asking questions. And Kaylee asks some questions sometimes that show that she doesn't have that sense of truth in her life. She's asking things that she wants to know, but she's been told something else which isn't true sometimes. And you just go on with that and you think, where is there truth? So, okay, we're looking at the Ninth Commandment, and if you didn't know which one it is, you may have figured it out by now, that the commandment is, You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Which sounds kind of simple. It sort of sounds like a court kind of thing, that if you go to court, you shouldn't say false things. And I have told you before, but I'm still astonished by that sometimes, that the one time I was in court on a jury, that our job that day seemed to be to determine which of the two parties was telling the biggest lies. Because it was obvious that both were lying, and we were trying to figure this thing out. And so we are called to not give false testimony against a neighbor. But when you take that passage from Deuteronomy 5 or from Exodus 20 and bring that into the light of the New Testament, what Jesus calls us to live in our lives today, we find that there's so much greater depth to it than just that. It's talking about living in truth and rejoicing in truth and letting truth be the standard for our lives. Because as we'll discover as we look into God's word this morning, God is truth. And that's what he wants us to live as well. So in this passage, I want to begin with a line from verse 9, which I read there, which was, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." And maybe when we think about unwholesome talk, we're thinking about some of those words that nobody ever says at church and nobody ought to be saying elsewhere either. But you hear those words sometimes, and even turning on TV or listening to politicians and so on, you get some of those words that just kind of burn in your ears and you really don't want to hear them. But unwholesome talk can be so much more than that as well. And that's what we want to look at a little bit. And as I think about words that we can speak, they sometimes bring hurtfulness and destruction. And the picture that came to me as I was thinking about this week was looking at some of the pictures from Yellowstone National Park. And a lot of you know that a week ago they had a horrific rainstorm that melted snow much faster than anybody had ever seen happen before, and there was flooding in that park as had never previously happened. And so here's this beautiful park. I've been there. I've rejoiced in that place. The rivers are beautiful. The water is just incredible. It's so wonderful until you get too much of it, and it gets under pressure and causes problems. And so roads were washed out. Campers were stranded in the campgrounds. They simply could not get their campers and their gear out of there. There were people who lived in houses surrounding the park, some of whom maybe can celebrate now because they live on islands, which they didn't before. Others, their houses had been washed away. And you look at the devastation that water, which could be very beautiful, can also cause. And I'd like you to think about words in the same kind of way, that words can be beautiful, they can be restorative, they can have that power which is positive, but words can also be very destructive. And so Paul writes here, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. And we can go down into the passage a few verses further, into verse 31, and we see what some of those kinds of words are. They might be bitter, complaining kinds of words. And sometimes when we're in bad moods, we can get into those attitudes. And I can recollect even one time in my years as a pastor where I really didn't like going to church on Sundays. Pastor, okay. But why? Because I knew that every time I went to church, it was just in this kind of attitude at that time, that somebody was going to come up to me and complain about another person or complain about something that we were doing. And what I found is that those bitter, complaining people seldom came with any sense of responsibility in it or any sense of, here's what I think we could do to move beyond that. They would just come and they would complain and then they would say, and you need to do something to fix this. And, you know, you get kind of tired of that sort of thing. And I find that to be some of the unwholesome kind of talk that sometimes is surrounding us in our lives. And I tell you, I would hate to be somebody who was in the complaint department of any industry or business or government or anything, because and you get that, huh?
Every day.
Fun? No, it isn't. It's unwholesome talk. And that should not have a place in our lives as Christians. A second thing, also from verse 31, that is there, is angry, passionate words. Now, that one's in some ways kind of confusing, because there is an aspect of anger. God has anger, and anger can be conducive to causing us to move forward in some important kinds of causes sometimes. Anger has its purpose. But anger, if it is out of control, becomes very dangerous. And so you read in this passage in verse 26 to 27, the danger of anger becoming sin, in fact, giving the devil a foothold in our lives. Now, the word for devil, which is used here, is a Greek word diabolos, which sounds maybe a little more scary than devil to me. I don't know. But if you actually take that word from Greek and translate it, what it means is slanderer. And that's the most specific meaning of that word diabolos. So the devil is a slanderer. And if you go on into the Bible in John 8, verse 44, Jesus is talking with the Jewish leaders about the issue of truth, and he says to them that the devil does not hold to truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. I love this newer translation of it. It makes it pretty clear. That is the native language of the devil, to speak lies, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so we find that if we are people who go to bed angry and wake up angry and we live with that anger and we let that anger grow within us and we nurture that anger, that it will always lead us to a sinful position. And we need to be really careful about that. And somewhere in my reading this week, I came across a quote which I thought was just really worth sharing. If you're ever in a conversation and you have to keep raising your voice to continue the conversation or argument, by this time we're talking, then you ought to just stop and be quiet for a while. If you have to raise your voice to be heard, then maybe you shouldn't say what you're saying. Good thing for us to think about sometimes. A third thing that we might find in this is that there is also insulting language. And that, again, may go back to that unwholesome thought of people swearing and saying words that we just don't think are polite. But there's also associated with that some things that some of us may sometimes sneak through. Things like name-calling, things like gossiping about somebody, and that's unwholesome talk as well. And what we find is that these are things that God does not like, and these are things that God will hold us accountable for doing in our lives, that God will punish us when we speak words that are unwholesome and unhelpful to people. And so we live in the midst of a world where all that stuff seems to be going on all the time, and sometimes we just want to plug our ears and not hear any of it. But we can't do that, because we need to hear. We need to be able to respond in good ways. Which brings us to, what does God really want from us? He wants us to know truth. He wants us to love truth. And he wants us to speak truth as we live as his witnesses in the world today. So I want to talk about those three thoughts. First of all, knowing truth. How do we get to know truth? And the basic step that we need to take in that is it begins with knowing God. Because God is truth. Jesus, in fact, said that. If you turn to John 14, verse 6, you know that famous passage probably of his where Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Truth is what Jesus embodied. Truth is what Jesus spoke, but Jesus in his person was also truth, which represents the person of God and all the world for us, that he is truth. So if God is truth, everything he says also is truth, and we know that the Bible is truth. We also know that when people come together as a people of Christ and we're studying the Word of God and letting that Word be spoken into our lives and letting the Holy Spirit guide us in that Word, that that truth becomes more and more part of who we are. And Paul, in another of his letters to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he says that if we want to be ready to teach each other, we have to be able to correctly handle the word of truth, so that that truth is something that is known to us and that we can help each other to know. And when we know that truth, then it helps us to be able to sort out some of the rest of the stuff that we're hearing around us and saying, this is true, and because I have this standard of truth, I know that that cannot be true. So we know truth. A second step of that is to love truth. We know that when there is untruth, it's often something that breaks relationships. If you ever listen to couples who are having difficulties, husbands and wives, it's often because somebody is not being truthful with the other one. And it gets you into trouble. It can be true in work relationships as well. If somebody's lying about what they do or not do, it gets you into trouble. I don't know, I probably should never talk about my family, but my son-in-law, for example, is having a lot of trouble at the hardware store where he's a manager, that some of the other people who work under him will come to him at the end of the day and say, can I go home now? And he says, did you finish the work in your area? Did you get everything cleaned up and put away? Yep. Okay, you can go home. And then he walks out through that area and finds all these things that are undone, unfinished, and it takes him another half hour or so to get that finished up before he can think about going home. Because people are not living in truthfulness. They're not loving truthfulness. We want to be people who, in every aspect of our lives, not just on Sundays when we're at church telling truth to each other, but in our jobs and in our families, being those who so much love truth that it's something that becomes first nature for us. Remember, we said the devil, it's his nature not to speak truth. Our nature ought to be to speak truth. So there's a passage that you could read in the Old Testament, Zechariah. He wrote in chapter 8 these words, speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment and not love to swear falsely. In verse 19 there he says, therefore love truth and peace. Can you imagine what it would be like to be able to go around in the world and just know that everything you heard was always true? Can you even imagine that? It's hard to imagine, but here's the thing for us, brothers and sisters. It begins with us. That we make sure that we so much love truth that everything that we say, we will make sure is true. We don't say those things that are questionable. We don't carry on with some of those thoughts that are not true. It starts with us. And the third step of that, then, is speaking the truth. There are a couple of things from the passage which help us to understand what that means. The first of those comes out of verse 25, where it says, we are all members of one body. And because we are members of one body, we're working together, and so why would we not speak truth to each other? Now, I do like kayaking. I've not been in my boat yet this year. Not a good thing. It has to change soon, okay? But my kayak is a one-cockpit kayak. I get me in the boat, and it's just me. And I have to tell you that sometimes I see people who are in those two-cockpit kayaks, and I have to laugh. Because a lot of those are people who've rented the boat for the day and don't have a clue what they're doing. And so they get out in the lake, and they tend to go around in circles. Or they get into a river and they're running into the banks all the time and can't figure out why. The reality is because they're not working together in the same direction. And in my mind, that's a really clear picture of what it is for us to do something contrary to what God wants us to do as being members of one body. If we are members of one body, we are intentional about saying, I want to speak truth to those around me because we are working in one direction, for one Lord, for one purpose into eternity. And why would we ever want to do anything that was contrary to that? So because we are members of one body, we want to speak truth to one another. And then verse 30 adds into that thought that we can do what is, or verse 29 actually, we can do what is helpful for building up others according to their needs. We're doing that because we are part of a body, we're dependent on each other, and we're helping each other in this. Second thing comes out of verse 30, where we recognize that truthfulness brings joy to the Lord. The contrast, of course, is that lies bless the devil. So here's just a question for you today. How many of you would like to make the devil's day? So tell a lie, right? But wouldn't you much rather make God's day today? And you think about it. This God who created the world, who breathed the breath of life into us, this God who loved us so much that he sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins so that we might become new creations, this God who is the Holy Spirit who lives within us to make us more and more like Christ every day, I want to do what brings pleasure to him. I want to do what brings glory to him. I want my words to speak of Christ. I want my words to reflect the glory in which God has created us. I want my words to be words that bless the Lord. So we can do that in the way we speak. As illustration, I think, for example, of how I feel when I watch my kids, who are all grown up now, and when I hear sometimes some of the applause, in a sense, that they get from people who are their coworkers and so on, and then there's a part of me that, in response to that, wants to say, "Yeah, that's my kid," and I'm so pleased. And isn't that a great picture for us to think? That God is watching us. And he's hearing what other people are saying about us and so on too. And God is saying, yeah, that's my son. That's my daughter. Because we want to be so pleasing to God, not only in the things we do, but also in the words that we speak. And then the third thing that we're going to take out of this comes from verse 1 in chapter 5. That we become followers of God's example. Some of the other translations will actually say in this passage, be imitators of God. And I like that thought of being imitators of God, that there's something good in God that we want to follow in our lives. And that's a great encouragement for us then in our language. I like it. It's fun now having grandchildren who are getting a little bit big enough, you know, to do some following. I kind of forgot about it. It's been so long since our kids were little. But it's fun now when Josiah's at our house, and Josiah loves to follow me around. And even our little Jenna, who's only a year and a half at this point, she's following me everywhere. And she wants to do what I'm doing. And that gets dangerous sometimes. Okay, but if I go up a ladder, they want to go up the ladder. If I dig in the garden, they want to dig in the garden. I love that thought that they want to imitate what I do. But brothers and sisters, we need to watch God, who is our Heavenly Father, and say, I want to imitate what God is doing. And our passage gives us three words that are down in verse 32, which show us a little bit of how God responds. The first is kindness. And sometimes, you know, kindness seems so simple, we could do it so easily, but oftentimes it seems like harsh words come so much more quickly. Kind words to bless other people and to bless them, to know that you are caring about them. Second thing, compassion here. When we see somebody who's struggling, we can lift them up with the words that we speak, because that's what God does to us. Can you think of times when maybe you've had a bad day and you open your Bible and you get into Psalms and you see a psalm there that David wrote or one of the others, and you think, how blessed I am by hearing what God has said in his word, because God speaks words of compassion. And Jesus was noted for that, as people would watch him during his ministry years on the earth, that people saw that he had compassion on people. And the words of God are often compassionate for us. And the third thing there that's given is forgiveness. And forgiveness should be something that flows easily from us as Christians, because that's what God has done for us. And because we have been forgiven so much, we ought also to forgive our brothers and sisters. And this is the kind of language that we hear from God, and the kind of language which, if we are going to imitate God, to be like him, needs to flow naturally from us. So the command said simply, do not give false testimony. But isn't this a rich thing for us to say instead, I'm way beyond that. What I want to know is, how do I use the words of my mouth to praise my God, to bless other people, and to make the world a better place, in fact, to do my part to bring the kingdom of Christ into reality where I live today. And brothers and sisters, we have that chance. So think about that. And if you're getting into something with somebody today and your voice is going up and up and up, and up, what are you going to do? Stop. Get louder, did I hear somebody say? Oh, okay. And when you're tempted to say something that might be hurtful to another person, to stop and to say, how can I, in this situation, be a blessing instead? How can I lift up and encourage that person? See, it really does begin with us. And we can do our part in bringing the kingdom of Christ into the world simply by words that we speak. Let's pray together. Father, as we have looked at this passage this morning, and it speaks to us about who you are and what you want in our lives, we ask that you will bless us, that we may be able to be good imitators of you, that we would not be caught up in the ways of the world and the ways that would bring delight to the devil, because, Lord, we do not want to do that. Help us instead to concentrate on what will bring joy to you, and to use our mouths to speak wholesome, encouraging, wonderful, blessed truth into the world around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.